And give them a hand as they go to children's ministry today. You may be seated. You can turn with me to the book of Genesis and then to the book of Ephesians. Book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26. If you're there, say amen. I said, Pastor, you're going to wear out this page of my Bible. You know, I was meditating on this in the beginning. How many realize that sometimes when we don't begin something correctly, it never really turns out right? How many's ever done that? You made the mistake and the wrong decision in the beginning, right? So if we can get the beginning right, then and know this is what God's heart, His desire, His will, and His plan and purpose for our life, then what everything else fits in. Once we understand what God's purpose is, then we understand that when things are going on in our life, we understand that God still has a divine purpose and a reason for what's going on in our lives. We miss the plan and the purpose of God for this simple reason. And I can tell you this, because we don't understand God's purpose. Once we understand God's purpose and what He's trying to accomplish, because God's purpose is very simplistic, and that is that God's purpose is always twofold. It's redemptive and restorative. Redemptive and restorative. Everybody say that, redemptive and restorative. God has to redeem you before He can restore you. See, the world does it opposite. Let's dress them up. Let's try to make everybody feel good, you know. If I can change the way I dress, if I can change, we want to dress for success. We want to have the successful job. We want to have the right house and the right car to drive. But see, until you take care of the heart, it doesn't matter what you dress it up as. See, you can dress it up. You can dress yourself up in any way you want to. But until you change the heart, then nothing else is going to fit. Because everything else is temporary. See, you can go out and buy a new dress and feel good momentarily. But the problem is that you still have to come back and look at the mirror and you're going to see yourself. Boy, it's quiet in here today. Anybody going to help me? Amen. Greg, they're not going to make it hard on me today, do you think? You think they're going to preach with me? All right. So I want you to understand today is that's what God is doing. It's redemptive and restorative. God is trying to redeem us from the curse of the law. Amen. Which Adam did, and that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about the dominion mandate. We've been talking about how that and teaching on that God has given us a dominion mandate. Once we understand that God has given us not only a declarative but an imperative command, and that is that we are to have dominion and subdue the earth. And not just subdue the earth, and that is that God has called us that we would subdue every area of our lives. That's what we've been talking about. But let's look in Genesis real quick and then Ephesians. And then I just want to review just for a few minutes. And then I'm going to preach to you today. It's what happened after the fall. And God said, verse 26. Everybody say that. And God said. Turn to somebody and say, if God didn't say it, then what are you repeating? Amen? If God didn't say it, why are you repeating it? Well, I think. Uh-oh. Anybody ever done that? See, I'm thinking all the time, Pastor. Well, thinking is all right until stinking thinking turns into... Amen? That's what Peter was talking about, is that we got to be careful that we don't let any silly and perverse things. You know, when we talk about foul language, amen? The Bible talks about don't have any foul language, any foul communication come out of our mouth. How many knows that's in the Bible? I know some of you don't want it there, but it is in the Bible, okay? So it's in the Bible. Don't let any foul communication. So here's what our mindset. I want you to think about something. When they wrote this, they didn't write it in the context of the 20th or 21st century. They wrote it in the time of Jesus. Amen? Are you listening to me? See, we've created a bunch of words. We think that's foul communication. Here's what my interpretation of foul communication. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Now, I'm not advocating you go out and you cuss like a sailor or a drunken sailor. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But see, what our tendency is as people is that we put an emphasis on this and we say that's what he's doing. And then we go and we tear down our brother or our sister, or we gossip about somebody and we say, well, at least I don't let no foul communication come out of my mouth. Amen. See, when we talk doubt and fear, and we talk sickness and disease, and we talk and we look at ourselves and we see we talk to ourselves. How many talk to yourself? Some of you may not want to raise your hand on this one, because some of you are probably answering yourself too, and that could mean a psychological problem, and I don't have time to do therapy this morning. Okay, so you understand that we think and we talk to ourselves. And we talk to ourselves because our mind develops thoughts, and they develop thoughts out of our feelings, out of our emotions, out of our circumstance. And so we think those things. If we're not careful, what happens is the things that we think, we speak them over ourselves. And I say this all the time. She knows I'm really hard on this. Is be careful what you say. You know, be careful, because in the moment of passion, in the moment of anger, in the moment of difficulty, you speak something, you say something, not only over yourself, over your mate, over your grandchildren, your children. You're so lazy. You're so stupid. Don't let any... Is anybody going to help me in this Spirit-filled church this morning? Don't let any foul communication come out of our mouths. See, as religious folks, we can say, well, I don't say that word, that word, that word. Amen. If you want me to quit, I'll take a consensus. If more than two people say you want me to quit, I'll quit. Nope, nobody raised their hand. You understand what I'm saying? The reason why is because what we have not done is that when we think of dominion, we think of dominion in a spiritual context instead of realizing that God has a plan and a purpose, that he doesn't want us just to take dominion in the sense of us just telling people about Jesus Christ. See, it's no good to tell somebody about Jesus Christ unless you can show them how to live for Jesus Christ. Amen? See, you can feed a man and you can feed him temporarily, but until you show that man how to live life and how to be an overcomer, doesn't make any difference how many times you feed him. See? Because he's always going to come back and he's always going to be hungry. Because how many knows that's a part of the natural process of man? So when we fall, when man fell, his whole nature fell. And so he's looking for shortcuts. And the simplicity of it is this. In Genesis 1:26, he says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." See, God's even given some of you the ability to have authority over your ex. Amen. Right there he says it. Creepeth upon the earth every creeping thing. All right, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. Everybody say, God bless man and woman. That's what God made. God made male and female. And why is that? Well, and it's something I wrote down. It's interesting here. I wrote down when I was going back through my notes is that what we don't realize is what God's doing here is God's trying to create a legacy. See, God's trying to create a mentality and a mindset of legacy with a man and a woman. See, that's what we're trying to do, is that we're trying to create a legacy and we're trying to leave a legacy to our children and our grandchildren. What we have to stop and we have to ask ourselves is that whatever we have not taken dominion over, whatever is not doing and we're not building according to the kingdom, what is the kingdom? The kingdom is, Father, let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So the will of heaven is being done in our earth, and so we're taking dominion over every area of our life. And whatever area of our life that we're not taking dominion over, that means that we have handed over dominion, control, and circumstance to the enemy. Because either we are traveling, we either are going to the tree of life, or we're going to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Amen? How many still with me? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful. Amen? He was saying that to who? Saying that to Adam and Eve. No, it doesn't mean there, Adam, I want you to grow more fruit trees. Amen? So what he's saying here. He wasn't saying we got enough apple trees, we need more cherry trees. We need a couple persimmon trees. We don't have enough persimmons. Need a few more. No, that's not what God's saying here. How many realize that's not what God's saying here? God's not saying be a fruit farmer. Amen. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because God already put the trees there. See, God didn't tell him to plant the trees. He said, I've already put the trees here. He didn't say, I want you to do experiments and create different animals for the garden. That's not what God said. God said, I've given this to you. Now you need to dress it and keep it. You need to take what I've given to you and take care of it. See, God gave us the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God gave us the earth. And now God says, now take care of what I've given to you. See, if you're going to have kids, you can't take care of them. Don't be having kids. Amen? But if you have a child, no matter which way it flies, are you listening to me? Whether it was by marriage or because you have a baby, don't ever call your baby a mistake, because no babies are mistakes. See? I said no babies are mistakes. Amen? Just because we, whatever, ever. Don't be calling a baby a mistake, even though there wasn't holy matrimony that created that baby. That baby's not a mistake. Why is it? Well, because it's the creation of God. No child can be born unless God breathes breath into his lungs. And he becomes a living soul. She becomes a living soul. So there is no mistakes. Now that's what he's talking about. He says, be fruitful and multiply. God's saying, hey, you need to get married. That's why I created man and woman here. He said, I created, and how I created it is, isn't it interesting? Will you give me some time here this morning? Amen. Some things I just want to finish it. God's given to me and added to me here. Don't you think it's fascinating here that what God has done is that God didn't just create. He created man and Adam out of the dust of the earth, but he took from Adam to create Eve. See, God took from Adam, and that's why he said, Eve is bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Now, you got to get this. He said, she is bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. And that's why that Paul jumped over into the New Testament there in the book of Ephesians and said, you need to treat her as you treat yourself. He said, no man hateth his own body, but you need to treat her like you treat yourself. You need to love her and cherish her. Are you listening? As Jesus Christ loved and gave himself for the church. See? And so he said to them, get married, have some babies. Amen. Look what it says there. He said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. The context there, the revelation there is this, is that covers everything, not only socially, but civically. That God has called us to subdue everything. That is that God didn't just call us here to gather into a building, to hide behind a bunch of walls, and then hope the world is somehow going to take care of itself. I know we're living in crazy times right now. Amen? I said, I know we're living in crazy times right now. The one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to have the ostrich ministry. What's that ministry? That ministry is sticking your head in the sand hoping everything is going to go away and pass you by. It doesn't. See, most people don't live that way. We're faced with a crazy world and what to do with it. Well, I go back to Genesis here and I see God's plan and purpose. See, God is not going to let anything complete itself until he completes his plan. See, his plan, his agenda, listen to me, his agenda is bigger than the devil's agenda. His agenda is bigger than Mrs. Clinton's and Mr. Trump's agenda. His agenda is bigger than the Republican or the Democrat. His agenda is larger than that. God has a plan and purpose. And honey, He already established His purpose way before the earth was ever created. And before ever any other system was created, God already had a plan. He foresaw us even before the foundations of the world were ever created. God saw us, and God had a design, and God had a purpose for all of us. Amen. So we realize that God has given us dominion over all the earth. We realize that God is trying to create a legacy. And we see that and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. And over the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Can I tell you something? God gave the earth to man. Oh, Pastor, you're not going to turn into one of those greener people hugging trees and... Amen. Save the whales and don't kill the little baby seals thing. Are you? You're not going there, are you, Pastor? I'm saying whatever God's given to us, we need to take care of. That's why I tell my grandchildren, can I throw this out, Mama? No, you can't throw it out the window. You can't throw trash out the window. Why is that? Because we have a responsibility as stewards to take care of this earth. We don't need to be trashing the earth. We don't need to be trashing what God has given to us. That's why we take care of this church the way that we do. We take care of this church because whatever God gives you, He says take care of. That's why I keep my car clean. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me. Oh, He's going to get on cleaning and taking care of stuff. That's right. Amen? Are you hearing me? That's why I hang my clothes up. I don't seem very popular today. Am I meddling too much? Amen. So here, God told him to be fruitful and to multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. This is not just a declarative statement. This is an imperative statement. That means it's a mandate. And we understand that it's a mandate. God said subdue the earth, referring, when he said be fruitful, refers to marriage, multiply, indicating family. Fill the earth. That entails society there. And then subdue. That covers the whole scope of human endeavors and business and makes the precious three, the previous three, possible. What's God doing? God is trying to create a legacy and that we quit being so concerned with the temporal and we don't see the eternal. Because what we're building for is not for a 30-year plan to be able to retire. What we're building for is eternity. And until we have a mindset of eternity and realizing that we're going to, that when we have those babies in front of us, we need to ask ourselves, what should we do to give them the best opportunity to be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? We need to do whatever is possible to be able to have such a strong legacy here that we are passing that down from generation to generation. Because it's not just about us. And when we are building, look, whenever you're building something, sometimes in the building of it, it don't look like it's going nowhere. See, Juan will tell you there's times when he's built houses that the house goes to a certain point and the owners will come who's building it and they'll come back in and they'll look and say, well, what have you been doing? Amen? Because in it, they didn't realize, well, there was electricians here, and you can't see it, but the electricity is being run in the house. There's been plumbing done, and there's been things that's being done behind the walls that you don't see. But I want you to know that progress has always been made. But sometimes when we look at things by the natural, we look at them, and we think that nothing's being done. And our tendency is that sometimes in the process of God building the house and building legacy, it doesn't look like anything's being done. But hear me today, as long as we are preaching the gospel every week, as long as we are lifting His name up, as long as we are discipling, as long as we are being obedient to the call that God's given to us, something's being done every week. And here I want you to understand that whether we're doing anything or not, the God, the sovereign God that we serve is at work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and God is doing things behind the scenes that you can't and I can't even begin to see. Amen? How many hears it today? So that we understand. We understand that today. So what happens when we don't walk out that mandate, that dominion? Here's something God gave me this week. What happens, we begin to find substitutes for the authentic of the original. Instead of having the original, instead of having the authentic, we begin to replace it with other things in our life to try to fill our life and to take the place of it. So we think, and a contention here that I realize in the culture here is that of family, of sports. And no, I'm not going to be preaching against sports. That's why we're building the community center is this, is that the more that we attract here, eventually what we're going to do is we're going to have the ear and the eye of many people, and eventually what that's going to be turned to is that we're going to be able to offer the gospel of Jesus Christ in ways that are a lot more progressive than what we're doing. We have to find innovative ways to be able to reach this community and this culture for Jesus Christ. Our culture has to be stronger than the culture that is out there in the world. So the culture of the kingdom, the culture of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit has to become stronger. But we don't have to be so bogged down with old ideas and old mentalities that we have to sit here and die. No, ma'am, no, sir, we don't. We can progress on. We don't have to be 1,000 to get it done. All we have to do is have agreement together and say, together, we can get it done. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord, this is what we're doing. Amen? So unfortunately, when we neglect the principle, it results in the whole of the family and civic life being handed over to unbelievers. See, that's what's happened in our world. What's happened in our world is the church was so spiritually minded. I said they were so spiritually minded, they became no earthly good. See, I want you to understand something. Jesus sits in heaven, but he left you here in the earth. See, if it was all about that all he was going to do is come and die, and then the ones that was there, his disciples that he had walked through, and then after the day of Pentecost, on a high, he said, okay, hey, God says, hey, we're on a high here. Let's close this thing down. Amen? I mean, if you're going to take everybody to heaven, the day of Pentecost and those thousands of people being saved, God said, hey, we'll get out of here on a high. Drop the mic. Take everybody out. We'd be finished with this. Amen? But God didn't do that. I said, God didn't do that. Jesus descended into hell, took back the keys of death, hell, and the grave, ascended unto the Father, to the right hand of the Father, gave gifts unto man. Are you listening? Gave gifts unto man, and here is the kicker, and he left you here. He left you here in the earth. Why? He left you here because he has something for you to do in the earth. But he is not leaving you here alone. He says, I'm going to send a comforter to you. He said, I must go, and I am preparing a place for you. And where I am, you may be also. But I am sending one like me alongside of you. And he is going to equip you, and he is going to give you ability. And you are going to not only do the works that I have done, but greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. See, God wants us to move. The reason why that church loses its glow, the reason why our Christian life loses its flavor like bubblegum on the post overnight, is because what happens is this, is we've chewed the snot out of our bubblegum, out of religion, and there's no more flavor in what we're doing. Why? Because it's not just coming to church, it's not just listening to a message, but it's what Paul says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a continual thing of allowing the Spirit of God to flow through our lives on a continuous basis, so that what? That we can reach the world that is lost and dying. The world needs to see a difference. Amen. Hey, I want you to know, when an unbeliever comes in here, whether it's the music team standing up here, I say it to Pastor Karen all the time. You know, I don't preach the way I preach because that's the way I preach. I preach because I believe in what I'm preaching, and because I'm passionate about what I'm preaching. And the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, that reveals this revelation to me, I preach it because it's alive. on the inside of me. And that I realize the excellency of words will not get it done. It's going to take the demonstration, the power of the Holy Spirit to convince men's hearts that it's really real and that God wants to do something dramatic in the earth. Amen? So where have we given up our dominion? We talked about it in our families, on our jobs, in our finances. We have given up dominion. What I want you to understand today is this, and we understand about Adam's fall, and the curse was imposed on mankind, and the fulfillment of it is impossible. It would take God's grace in the work of redemption and restoration to fulfill what happened there. But look, God reveals His will in Ephesians chapter 1 and 17. Are you still with me today? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 17. If you're there, say amen. What did I say? Amen. No, I already preached in Genesis. Why would you turn there? Amen. Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. Paul talking here. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. God wants to give us what? Yes, God wants to give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. God wants to give us the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is the insight into God's heart and His ways. Everybody say that. God's wisdom is insight into God's heart and His ways. See, you can have knowledge that this is how a car works, but it's a lot different to find a way to be able to drive the car. See, you know that's a car, but how many knows that it takes wisdom to drive a car? Amen? Amen. See, I know when I look at Zach, he looks at the car, and he thinks in his mind, I can drive this. Amen? I know this. I haven't talked about it with him yet, but I know that's what he thinks in his mind. He watches. So he watches, and so now he's asking questions. Well, how does that turning signal work? You know why he's asking that question? Because he sees himself driving the car. And he thinks, well, if my old grandpa can drive the car, I can drive the car. And I'm big enough to sit in that driver's seat because I know I can reach that pedal. Are you listening to me? Amen. I thought that same thing when I was about Zach's age. Amen. My next door neighbor, it's not quite clear about how the whole idea came up, but we had devised a plan to take my dad's car. I had found the keys to the car. And I thought in my mind, devising the genius that I was, that we had plenty of time to be able to get in the car, take a spin, come back, park the car, put the keys back, and nobody would be the wiser. Amen? And I remember getting in the car, starting the car. I never had a lesson in my life. But I remember getting in the car, and George Kimmett, who was the other guy on the inside, who was really an instrument of the devil. Amen. We got in the car, and I started the car, and I went off down the road. Now, thank God there was no cops that was around, because I probably was driving the car about 8 miles an hour going around the block. But it seemed like we were going 60. Are you hearing me? I was terrified every second of every moment I was in that car. But you know what? It didn't stop me from thinking this I could do because I was big enough. I had knowledge. I must have. I'm driving this car. Are you hearing me? And I'll never forget going around the block. It seemed like we had taken a trip from here to L.A. And we had the windows rolled down and we had the radio on. And we were just talking and we were the big dogs. until I turned the corner, started coming down the street, and I saw my father. And all of a sudden, my world got real small. It's amazing how quick your mind can work, because a part of your mind says, stop the car now, jump out and run. See, you're laughing because you never met my father. My father was 5'10" and was built like an oak tree. And he had the voice of a giant. And when my dad, you never had to wonder where he was mad or glad. When my dad was mad, his whole face showed, I'm mad and I have death on my mind right now. Because I'm going to kill you when you get down here. Are you hearing me? And I'm going to tell you something. When we got in the car, it's amazing because George Kimmett, instead of being a stand-up guy, jumped out of the car and ran across the street to his house. Left me holding the bag. See, I had knowledge, but I didn't have wisdom. See, a lot of people have knowledge about church. They have knowledge about God. Amen? And they get in and they drive. And we know where we're going. And we're moving, aren't we? We're going, aren't we? We're making progress. Well, how can you be making progress? Because we had no idea where we were going to end up. See, knowledge gives you the beginning stages of having something, but wisdom gives you a destination. Knowledge shows you how to start the car. It shows you even how to move the car. But what wisdom does, wisdom shows you how to take care of the car, and it gives you a destination. Anybody can drive a car anywhere. Amen? But many people don't know where they're going. The church has been given a dominion mandate. And we think this is all simple and that it's plain. But I'm here to tell you that God has a purpose and a reason. Here's what we need to understand. Amen? Let's go on just a little bit further here, because I want to get this thought across to you. It was Adam's conscious choice to reject God's word here. Adam needed to make a decision. Was God's word true, or whether the serpent's word was true? Adam sided with the serpent. This was an act of his free will. That was his choice. He unwittingly swore allegiance to Satan's dominion and against God. Did this act give Satan a de facto, or what we would call in fact, dominion in the earth? No. Adam's dominion was always and only from God and under God. Adam did not have the power and the authority to give away God's dominion to anyone or to change God's word. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So he never gave power over to him. So what happens? Satan always wants to unseat God, but he cannot. He knows he cannot be God. Satan can, however, deceive mankind and subject him to the punishment of rebellion against God. How is that, Pastor? Well, Romans 8, if you'll turn there with me. And we can see it here for what happened. Are you still with me? So was subjected, now look at 8:20. He said, for the creation, nature, was subjected to frailty, to futility, condemned to frustration, not because of some intentional fault on its part, but the will of him who so subjected it, yet with hope. So the earth was subjected to what happened, but God left it with hope. God subjected creation to this, not Satan. See, there was a curse, but the curse was set because of man's disobedience. So what is the extent of Satan's power, particularly as it relates to man's dominion? Now, look with me in Romans chapter 6, if you will. I want to read this to you today. Romans chapter 6, turn with me. Romans chapter 6. if we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Are you hearing me today? Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Unbroken fellowship. That is, that once that Christ died, there is unbroken relationship. There's unbroken fellowship with God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Amen. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That's what happened when I got in the car and took my dad's. I yielded my members as instruments of unrighteousness. George never suffered the consequences of sin. Amen. Well, he did later because I caught him in a gym. And it was not good for George. All right. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now look here in verse 14. For sin, everybody say, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For sin shall not have what? What broke that? Well, what broke that was Jesus Christ. Well, then, Pastor, why do I still have a problem with sin? Well, you have a problem with sin because you don't believe that the power of sin has been broken off your life. See, it doesn't make any difference how much that I tell you that you are a multimillionaire and that there's money in the bank, there's everything that you need to be able to do it. And I use money because people can relate to money very easily. And it doesn't make a difference how much I do it. But that doesn't keep you from living as a pauper. That doesn't keep you from starving yourself to death. That doesn't keep you. You still are going to have to exercise yourself in the dominion of that money. You have to exercise yourself in. It's not, look, honey, the exercise doesn't mean, amen, coming here and sitting down church on Sunday. That's not exercising your faith. Amen? Because there's times that we come that we are totally engaged in what God is saying. And you know, just like because I used to go to church too. And as great as Cornerstone was, and as wonderful as Cornerstone is, and Bishop bar none is, as far as I'm concerned, the greatest preacher on the planet. But I can tell you, there are times to where that I went and I was not engaged in the service. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because I chose not to be engaged. Because I chose to allow the worries and the fears and the other things that was on my mind to overshadow me instead of doing what? Exercising myself and saying to those things, you're going to have to take a back seat. You're going to have to get in the back because I'm here, because I'm going to take dominion over that thing. See, you have to exercise. You're not just healed because you sit and you say, I know that God heals. You've got to exercise yourself in faith. You can't just say, look, I want to quit smoking or I want to lose weight. You have to engage yourself in that. Amen? Amen. You can't say, you know, you want to. And it's been a struggle in my life. That fact, but I want you to know something is you can't do that and then eat chocolate cake at 10 o'clock at night. Amen. You can't say you want to quit smoking and say, when I get down to this last cigarette, I'm done. How long has that last cigarette lasted? What, 10 years? I mean, amen? I get done this little bit of dip right here. No more. I mean, that must be like, you know, like manna from heaven. It never grows dry. That is there. Oh, Lord. We were doing good till we got to the stuff. See, never. I don't want you to understand something. Satan never replaced Adam. True, the devil held the power of death for a season and time. Hebrews 2:14 tells us, for as much as them as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Jesus took that part for us.
Are you hearing me? He became flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus destroyed, did what? Jesus destroyed the power of death. Well, what's the big deal, Pastor? Well, if the power of death is destroyed, that means the power of sin is destroyed, because the only thing that can create death is sin. Then, Pastor, why will we die? Well, we'll die because your flesh man has not been redeemed. Your body may go by the way of the grave, but here's the good news for the believer. You won't taste the sting of death. For the unbeliever, the sting of death is that when you die, your spirit, your soul goes to hell. It goes to torment. But as a believer, you never taste the sting of death. The grave will not have victory over you, because in that great resurrection, when we hear that last trumpet sound, our bodies will raise out of the grave that are redeemed, and we and our bodies and our souls will meet, and we will exchange this mortal body and those old bodies that had decayed, whether they are dust or whether the ocean decayed them, they will meet all those molecules in the air, and we will go to live with him forever. Death has no power over you. The grave has no victory over you. That's all good and well, but here you are, still in the earth. Amen. Amen. We're still here in the earth. Amen. I mean, you know, just touch yourself. Make sure you're here. Amen. We're still here. But, so what is the best that Satan can do? Well, he wanted to prevent Adam from accomplishing the dominion and authority he was given. That's what he's trying to do to many of you. See, that's why you're attacked with sickness. That's why your kids all of a sudden flare up and do crazy, stupid stuff. Amen? Amen? It's all cool until your kids do it. Amen? Amen. We'll go 10 rounds with the devil anytime. But man, when our kids start acting crazy, we're like, just everything just blows up, doesn't it? I mean, there's nothing. I mean, everything can be fine until you have a fight with your spouse. You're in disagreement. Boy, it's amazing how Christian charity and love can go right out the window real quick. Why is that? Well, because, not because he's directly involved, not because the devil took special attention to come and deal with you. No. What he is doing is it's the spirit of the air, the principalities. He's trying to distract you away. He's trying to take you away. He's trying to interrupt. See, if you can interrupt. See, a runner is there. But when he is interrupted and his pace is shortened down, then what happens, his heart rate goes down, goes up, goes down, goes up. And then he cannot accomplish and he cannot create endurity. Endurance is created through consistency time and time again. How many understand what I'm saying? See, that's why he does it. He does it to interrupt you. He wanted to prevent Adam from accomplishing the dominion and authority he was given. Adam did not negate or destroy God's mandate. He merely perverted and delayed the execution of it. That's all. God's judgment on Adam was not to give dominion to Satan. God the Father kept his word for you. God the Father kept his word. If you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. It subjected Adam and the whole of creation to the dominion of sin and death for a time. So what preceded, for what preceded from this point in what is what St. Augustine said, called the libido dominator, or a lust to rule. Man, instead of ruling by God and by the extension of the peaceful rule of Adam, what happened was through family and progeny or descendants, society and business, it was perverted in an ungodly way. From that point, how do we know that? Well, the glory of man. We see it came continuing his father's sin by asserting his independence from God. He wanted to worship. He wanted worship to God on his own terms, his own way. He wanted to make the rules. That's where we get into the problem. We don't ask God what is his will, what is his plan. See, we don't realize that there is a close proximity between the soul and the spirit. And what we sometimes think the spirit is saying, it's really our emotions that are dictating to us. It is our emotions that are screaming out. I cannot tell you. And as much as I have walked out, and as much as I have prayed, and I've sought God, I can tell you, my emotions are a powerful thing. My soul is a powerful thing. Why is that, Pastor? Because I hear voices in my head, and I'm not crazy. Just like you. But the problem is that if you're hearing it from here, and instead of from here, yeah, Cain wanted to worship, don't you remember? I want to, but it's going to be on my terms. No, here, this is good enough. I brought you my fruit salad, God. You know, here it is. Amen? And God was dissatisfied. And Adam just like got all, what? Seriously, I mean, that's the translation. That's the 20th century translation. Is Adam went, what? You like him better than me? I brought you the best I have. This should be sufficient. But he looked at Cain and he said, but you know that's not what I said. You know, Cain, what I want. Amen? You know what I want. See, we unwittingly align ourselves with Satan. When we align yourselves by excluding God from the decisions in our lives, from our worship of Him, we are creating a legacy, but of what? What is the legacy that we are creating? Cain attempts to exercise dominion through his own sin, false worship, envy, by murdering the object of his enemy. See, murder is a perversion of dominion. Murder is a perversion of dominion. That's why that abortion is a destructive force against legacy in the earth. Abortion is taking away legacy. It is perverting dominion in the earth. Why? Because we are literally going against the commandment of God, and that is to be fruitful and to multiply. Are you hearing me? But Pastor, why do we have all of these unborn children? We shouldn't have. I want you to know is that it doesn't make any difference how many unborn children. Until we change the hearts of women and change the hearts of men, we are always going to have this. But when sin is destroyed, death cannot reign. Are you hearing me? Cain was banished and he exercised dominion. We see it in the Bible. He was fruitful and he multiplied marriages and family. We see the line here. And he filled the earth with society, with cities, his descendants. Subdued the earth through production and his skills. Look at it in Genesis chapter 4. It looked by everything and on the outward appearance that he was doing everything that God said. Yet he was a dominion of rebellion against not a dominion for God, taking dominion for God, but it was a dominion for a rebellion because the seed of it was from rebellion. See, some things can look like they're right. They can have every appearance as being right, but the root of it is wrong. Remember Lamech there in Genesis chapter 4. It was a dominion by man for man, it says. These cities became centers of domination of man and the conquest of other men. The legacy is passed on to Nimrod. You remember Nimrod? He plays an important role. Why is that, Pastor? Well, because Nimrod becomes the founder of Babylon there in Genesis chapter 10. Well, how important is that? Well, this kingdom of Babylon becomes the arch nemesis of the true kingdom of God, lasting all the way to Revelations chapter 18. Is that out of this seed came it. Out of this came a legacy of Babylon. But what I want you to understand today is this. But here, if we are not careful, all we can see is Babylon, the curse. All we can see as we look at the world and we see the world in chaos, we see the world burning down around us. That's all we see.
But you have to understand something. And if you're taking notes, you need to take a note on this today. Is that, but within the curse, there is a promise. See, within the curse, there is a promise. Even though it seems like the curse is predominant. It seems like the curse is predominant. It seems like there is no life. There is no hope. But I'm here to tell you that within that curse, there is a promise. Listen to it. He says in Genesis chapter 3 and 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, not Eve. Are you hearing me? Eve was only the vehicle that would bring forth the promised seed. I will put enmity between you and the woman, not Eve, but another woman, Mary, who could have eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but chose not to. She became the vessel of God. When the baby came, it came, and the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil said to her, this doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be pregnant. There is no logical reason why you should be. She could have aborted the baby just through social pressure alone. She was probably not even 16 years old. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil says, look upon me. I can make you wise. I can give you understanding. Hey, you don't need this for your life. You don't need to do this. Stop it. Abort this thing that's going on in your life. Don't be shamed. You could be stoned. Everything about you, your reputation can be ruined. But yet she did not. She chose not to eat of that tree. She chose to eat of the tree of life. She chose to trust God. She chose to trust and become the vessel God creates to bring the Messiah. And between your seed and her seed, you shall bruise your head, but you will only temporarily bruise his heel. Crucified, but listen now, but the seed shall deal the death blow to your rule and to your authority. You will temporarily slow him down, but you will not stop. Why? Because in the curse became a promise, and the Messiah was born. Here's what I want you to understand today. It doesn't make any difference how your life seems cursed. God is saying to you, there is a promise within what is going on in your life today. And some of you can't see the promise. All you can see is the curse. I have to tell you today that sometimes when things are going wrong and everything about you is happening. Oh man, I'm telling you something. This has been a tough year. This has been a tough summer and a tough fall. But I want you to understand today is this, is that in the midst of it, God has given me a promise and says, be careful that all you look at is not the curse. Quit looking at, man, Pastor, why are things not going right in my life? Why is it that I just about get some wind behind my sail and then boom? Amen. Why the sickness, Pastor? Why the problem? Why the circumstance? Why the situation? I can give you an answer today. The answer is this. Because the promise is bigger than the curse. And that what God wants to do in your life is about eternity, not the temporal. See, God's concerned about your life. God is. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about how you eat and how you live. God wants you to have the best. But if you're not careful, you'll be so focused on the curse. You'll be so focused on what isn't that you fail to give him thanks for what is. You'll be so focused about what you don't have that all of a sudden you stop thinking about what you do have. If you're not careful, you'll be so focused on the sickness that you're struggling in your body, and you forgot, wow, you lived 40, 50, 60 years without anything physically wrong in your life. Are you hearing me? You're blessed. But don't focus on the curse. Because if you focus on the promise, God will bring you through. Amen? See, no matter how much the corrupting power of sin and death was infused into mankind and into the dominion in the earth, he can never eradicate it. I'm finishing. Come on, stay with me just for a couple more minutes.
either in theory or even in practice. God has always had a righteous man who would rise up in a perverse generation. See, let me ask you something. Why does God have you where he has you? You think because of where you're working is, well, that's where I'm working. It's the only place I could find it. Well, are you a believer? I know how I'm as a father. My grandchildren, my children will tell you the same thing. I'm always concerned about everything they do. Amen. Sometimes they tell me too much. Amen. Amen. Dad, you know. No. I'm your dad. I'm not your buddy, not your friend, not your pal. I'm your dad. And God's given me a holy call. That is, that one of the nine gifts is a gift of, I'm stuck in your business, whether you like it or not. Amen. Want to know why? Because you ain't all grown up yet. And as long as I'm alive, I'm still a father. And if I'm still a father, I still have business in your life. Well, I moved out of your house. I don't care. See, this is not about an earthly bond. This is a spiritual bond. And I don't stop fighting the fight of faith for my children and my grandchildren just because they all grown up in their mind. Well, if you all grown up, why do you keep acting stupid then? Amen. How about you build a consistency of not being dumb? Amen. See, we need somebody. My father was emotionally detached most of my life, and I never had a grandfather in my life. See, I take this stuff really serious. I take it really serious. And want to know why? Because I'm trying to leave a legacy for my children and my grandchildren. I have the greatest children and grandchildren in the world. I wouldn't exchange any of them for anything, except when they get on my nerves. Then I take a couple chickens and a dozen eggs for some of them. But that's just natural, isn't it? But I give my life just like you would give your life. Well, guess what? Your father gave his life through his son, Jesus Christ. And you think God's walking out of your life because you're having a hard time, because you're going through a difficult time in your life, because you're having a hard space in your life? I'm here to tell you that's not the case at all. The case of it is this, is that God's walking with you and he sees where you're at. But you've got to awaken to the fact that God has given to you a promise. And the promise is greater. No matter what the enemy could do, he could never eradicate it. Don't you remember Enoch who walked with God and he was not? And for God took him there in Genesis chapter 5. God had a man even in a time to where there was no covenant. Noah, don't you remember the earth was so wicked? God repented and that he even made man. But the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord there in Genesis chapter 6. Have you forgot Abraham and Moses and Joseph and Joshua? Have you forgot Rahab, the harlot, who wasn't even a part of the commonwealth of Israel? But God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And she became a part of the lineage that brought forth the Messiah. Have you forgotten Gideon and Goliath and Deborah and David and all the prophets? And that God has always had a man. And you think because you are not in the Bible and the Bible has been closed that you're not a part of that? You are that righteous man where you are, that righteous woman, that righteous seed. And if all it is in your home or on the job or in school, if you're a young person, God has called you to be a righteous seed where you are. And let me share something with you. As long as you live there, the promise cannot be eradicated. I hear people all the time say, our schools have gone to hell. There's no good left in them. Not as long as I have righteous seed. Are you hearing me? As long as I have a righteous seed that's there, as long as my grandchildren are living a righteous life, not a perfect life, but a righteous life. You see, as long as you're there in that job, as long as you're there in that building complex, as long as you're there in that neighborhood, God has a divine plan for your life. As long as you are breathing and you're in that family, God has raised you up, mom and dad, grandma, grandfather, God has raised you up as the righteous seed. And no matter how it looks, and it seems that the curse has overtaken your family, you've got to rise up and you've got to declare the promise is greater. And for me and my house, we will serve God.
It is not lost as long as we have the promise. And the Bible tells me that the power of death has been destroyed. Well, it seems my family is dying. My life is dying. My marriage is dying. Not as long as you have the promise. Are you hearing me? As long as you have the promise, you have what? Life. Amen? You have life. Stand with me.